evening, and come on in. We'll get started tonight. So good to see you folks. Looking forward to getting started in our evening service. All right. All right, just a quick, we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer, then a quick announcement, and then Brother Cherry will come and lead us in our first song. Lord, we do love you, and thank you so much for your goodness and the blessings and joy of service and fellowship, and we do ask your blessings and that you would meet with us tonight, encourage us through your word and the time of fellowship together tonight. Help us to lift our voices, Lord, as we sing together and worship to you, and we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll take just a minute, and then we'll get started. I asked you a couple of weeks ago, as I challenged you and encouraged you, faith, family, fellowship, getting to know one another, and I challenged you last week, I think it was, or it may have been Sunday, but it's been long enough. Who learned something about somebody that didn't hear me? Okay, little thing, but still something you didn't know about them. You also let her know if it's actually pronounced tomorrow, it has some Russian roots. Yes. So let me help you. You were being very kind, I'm being funny. You went out and fellowshiped with Tamara, and you listened a lot. Yes, ma'am. Like I said, I was being kind. Brother Mill. I did more Robinson Brothers than Tamara. Yes. Well, yeah. Let's. Yes, they're little things, but when we start learning new things about one another and we spike an interest in one another's life and we begin to take interest in other, I mean, one of the greatest flatteries that you can give anyone or people to feel that way is that you want to know something about them and you sharing something personal about them, and that's what helps build relationships. Those things are important. All right, we'll go ahead and get, okay, yes, Miss Kitty. Here, amen. I am with her on that. Any day of the week, I'll eat both, but I would, that is my druthers. Well, good. So let me encourage you to talk to one another, get to know each other, and take that challenge and learn something new about each other and share that. And again, it's all about relationship building. And there'll be another excerpt in the bulletin on Sunday about relationships. At this time, it's going to be more about edification and edifying one another. Brother Leonard. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yes. Spoken by a hot dog, is that what you said? Right, amen. All right, this all back to seriousness now. We started in Proverbs here a few weeks back and talking about Proverbs on acceptance and approval. I'll mention it again. I'll do it each week until we finish this word. It still amazes me, but reminding our younger generation that we don't need to seek approval acceptance through social media. You know, we find that in our with among one another, but most importantly, among or toward the Lord. So we looked at number one, the acceptance and approval of God. We talked about wisdom. We talked about accurate weights. We talked about integrity and uprightness. And we talked about last week God's grace being upon the humble. And then we'll move forward tonight. If you're keeping up with that, it'd be letter E, or the fifth thing is a good man obtains favor. Again, talking about the idea of acceptance and approval of God. And a good man obtains favor. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. The last person in the world I want to be looked at as being condemned is by God. And again, that aspect of a good man. The Lord approves or favors a good man. A good man is pure in heart. When a person has goodness and character, it demonstrates he has a good balance in life. And we'll talk more about that with the men. I'll add something on Tuesday night about that. When a person has goodness and character, it demonstrates he has good balance in life. He shows stability. He shows sensibility, reliability, responsibility, and respectability. Having that balance in life, a good man obtains favor. And then letter F, or the next thing, mercy and truth finds favor in God's sight. Mercy and truth finds favor in God's sight. And gentlemen, this passage of Scripture, as I mentioned before, will be our theme for Tuesday, and I'll mention it again on Sunday, giving you a little more time. This section, we'll talk a little bit about it, but this is more of a foundation laying, because we're going to dive deeper on Tuesday than what we're talking about tonight. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4. Let that sink in. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and a good understanding in the sight of God and man. So mercy and truth are so important that the Lord tells us to not let them forsake us, or not let them forsake or leave us. Hold on to them and don't lose them. Grasp them, use them on a regular basis. Get in practice of showing mercy and truth. Mercy and truth are to be etched into our hearts and a part of our nature so that we do not forget them. In other words, so rehearsed, so practiced, so much around our neck that it becomes almost like rote memory that we practice those things in our daily life. We are to be aware of them just like a rope that is tied around the neck. Not this type around the neck, but that that's displayed around our neck. Again, like a beautiful piece of jewelry that attracts attention. The first thing that people should recognize about us are mercy and truth. What does Solomon mean by this terminology of the words mercy and truth? Well, the word mercy is from a Hebrew word, a chesed, which not only means mercy, but also loving kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Think about all that. When I display mercy, when I practice mercy, am I displaying my loving kindness, goodness, or faithfulness? And the easy way around it is, am I displaying loving kindness or mercy to others? The word truth is also from a Hebrew word, emeth, which not only means truth, but again, faithfulness, sureness, reliability, stability, continuance. In other words, there's such a pattern of truth in my life that I'm always known to speak the truth, always known to display mercy. When we are kind, when we are faithful, when we are good, when we're truthful, when we're reliable, when we're stable, or when we're steadfast, we are going to find approval and acceptance from both man, but most importantly, from the Lord. In today's culture, it is difficult to find people with this type of character. And honestly, if I'm honest, because of my circle, I haven't met too many people outside of that, whether it be in my neighborhood. Not that I haven't met other people, but I tend to say those people that describe and distribute those attributes are those who I know at church. And that should be that way, and then extended from there. Also, good characteristics when we're mentoring, to try to model our mentoring. Again, that'll be more about that in the bulletin on Sunday, but mentoring those things helps us to demonstrate those things and encourage those that we're mentoring and encouraging. But today, many are characterized by fickleness instead of faithfulness, selfishness instead of kindness, harshness instead of love, instability and indecisiveness instead of reliability and steadfastness. Men like Moses, Joshua, Joseph, David, some of the men that we refer to that we'd like to talk to one day, Enoch, Daniel, Elijah, they all found favor with God and men because mercy and truth were a part of their character. They were a part of their daily lifestyle. The gentleness of mercy and love needs the firmness of truth. And that stability of standing behind and people know that we speak and live to truth makes mercy go so much further. The strength and firmness of speaking and living out truth requires love. It requires kindness. And it is in this way it is proclaimed to others. What an example. If we can establish aspect of truth and mercy, how much louder it will speak with our testimony of the Lord when people know that we are reliable, we are truthful, and that what we have to say is something of truth or what we sincerely believe. Mercy without truth can lead to ungodly compromises. And truth without mercy can lead to callous legalism. Let me say that again. Mercy without truth can lead to ungodly compromises, and truth without mercy can lead to callous legalism. If we're not careful, we will think that everyone should be where we are in our Christian life. We'll think that we'll become callous or we'll compromise if we're not careful in displaying mercy and truth and have higher expectations on others than we should. I know I've given this example maybe in year one or two of being here as pastor. When someone gets saved, my concern is they're walking toward the things of God. And it doesn't matter to me at point if it's this speed or if it's this speed. The point is if they're moving in the right direction. Some people just naturally move slower than other people. We all know people that we almost want to finish their sentence when they're talking because they just kind of drag it out, kind of like Eeyore on the Disney, on the Winnie the Pooh. They just kind of slowly. Some people are the same way in their walk and in their faith. They analyze things. They grasp things at their own pace, and they move in that direction. So let's be careful that we don't become callous or impatient when we're mentoring and encouraging others because we want to move them along, but they have a pace that they're accustomed to. Lord willing, eventually that pace will pick up. When we pursue mercy and truth together or all together, we reflect the heart of God and bring Him great pleasure. Again, we're emulating things that are Savior displays. Scripture presents these two traits that kind of go hand in hand. They just naturally fit together, truth and mercy, mercy and truth. So let's look at a few things in reference to truth and mercy can teach us several lessons. I've got five, and of course there could be so much more, but put five in here for tonight. First of all, number one, truth and mercy preserve us. Psalm 61 and verse 7. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Are we allowing that aspect of truth and mercy in our life to cement in, to preserve us in a sense where it's a habit, it's habitual, something that we only way we know to exercise our thoughts and our attitude towards others is through truth and mercy. Psalm 40 and verse 11, withhold not Thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Number two, truth and mercy describe God's character. Truth and mercy describe God's character. Psalm 86 and verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalm 25 and verse 11, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Truth and mercy describe God's character. Again, if we are to emulate our Savior, to be Christ-like, we need to work on our truth and mercy. Number three, truth and mercy purge iniquity. Purge iniquity. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Again, we see how it's listed and goes hand in hand, mercy and truth, truth and mercy. Number four, truth and mercy preserves leadership. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 28, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. Number five, truth and mercy develops good. As we're talking about, the good man develops good. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 22. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. So we have examined six things that lead to God's approval. And we talked about wisdom, accurate weights, as I mentioned earlier, integrity and uprightness, and the humble, a good man, and mercy and truth. And then we'll go to the next section, G, faithfulness finds favor in God's sight. Faithfulness finds favor in God's sight. You know, faithfulness is one of those things that's much easier to practice in mercy and grace, in mercy and truth. I know at times we're providentially hindered, but just being faithful. Faithful to his word, faithful in prayer, faithful to a church when you're not providentially hindered, faithful to activities, faithful in being involved, faithful in encouraging and mentoring others. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. See, God delights in or accepts and approves those that deal truly. And we'll get to this word truly. It is, again, from the Hebrew word being in the Old Testament, emunah, which means firmness, steadfastness, steadiness, or faithful. Again, that word faithful. God favors those who are faithful and true. Faithfulness and true are a big deal to God, because he is faithful and he is true. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. John 3:33. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. Again, faithfulness, truthfulness, and reliability are some of the key frameworks of any society. And no wonder today we see so much crumbling in our society. There is not much to the framework of faithfulness and truthfulness. People will lie at the drop of a hat and will bring a box of hats with them to any conversation that they have. It's sad but true. If we can't trust the words and promises of others, then society falls apart. We have that ongoing, whether it be in the life in general or politicians that are supposed to serve their country. The judicial system collapses and the economy crashes when people fail to be truthful or fail to fulfill their agreements and to keep their word. You know, every time I hear that aspect of truthfulness, the aspect of keeping your word, it's something that my dad pronounced and rings loud in my ears to me, and I know my brothers and my sister, because dad would always tell us, your name is Cook, boy. Your name is Cook, kids. Wear it well. If nothing else, let it be known that cooks tell the truth. They do right. They are honest. They are faithful. They are true. They say what they mean and mean what they say. And they keep their promises and their commitments. If I heard that once, I heard that several times a year in my childhood, in my youth, growing up in the home with my mom and dad. The family disintegrates when parents are not faithful and can no longer trust one another. Let me go a little bit further and make it a little bit clearer. The family disintegrates when the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, are not faithful and can no longer trust one another. See, dear friends, it is vital that we are truthful and faithful to God and to one another in every area of our life, no matter how big or how little. So often I'm concerned about sometimes do we put our all in to the little things or just the big things? Do we make as much effort in our truthfulness and our faithfulness to little things, or is everything a big thing when it has to do with God, his house, and a ministry? Is it a big thing because we have a big God? Many times the little things have a dramatic effect on our life. Found an example, and some things have been in the news lately. Not as much lately, but was here a while back, and I did a little research on Panama and the Panama Canal. And didn't go exactly where I thought I might go with on the research because of things being in the news, but I found a little tidbit that I find very interesting as we look at the aspect of the little things in life, because many times little things do have a dramatic effect. Just for current events, anybody know who made the Panama Canal? Derek? There you go. The French started it. The first attempt to dig the Panama Canal was made by a French company. Men and machinery tackled the mountains and the jungles. The project was abandoned, however, not because of the mountains, but due to the mosquitoes. Yellow fever from mosquitoes killed thousands. American doctors discovered ways of protecting people against mosquitoes. And when the mosquitoes were taken care of, the mountains were soon conquered and the canal was finished. There is a great difference between the size of mountains and the size of mosquitoes. Yet the small mosquitoes did more damage to the workers. More men perished from the bites of the mosquitoes than from the danger of the mountains when they were working. Again, no one succeeds in the big opportunities of life who has not been faithful in the small opportunities. Sometimes it's the little things that begin our steps in our service for the Lord. It's keeping up with the little things before sometimes God entrusted us in larger or in big things. So are we willing to tackle the little things as opposed to looking for only those bigger things that might be more recognized? God wants us to be faithful even in the little responsibilities that we have in life. Do you deal truly with the Lord and with others? Faithful, kind, sincere, true, that aspect of truly with the Lord and with others. We may fool others, but we will never fool the Lord. The Lord knows what attempt we make in the big things as well as the little things. So the question before we close with our last verse, we should all ask ourselves, am I faithful? Am I considered truly? Do I practice mercy and faithfulness? Luke 16 and verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And as we've looked at tonight, as we come to a close, again, let me remind you and encourage you in reference to finding favor in God. A good man, mercy, and truth. No matter how big or how little, how faithful are we? I remember when I first surrendered to preach, I was scared to death, I was nervous, and I wasn't ready for the big thing in teaching and preaching and standing on the platform of the church that I attended by no means. I was ready for the little things. Give me children's church, give me the little guys, let me warm up to the other aspects. But I tell you, it didn't take long from a pastor that I had at that time, Brother Kirk, who's in heaven now, died of a brain cancer some years ago while we were in Germany. But I can sometimes still hear his voice about the aspect of being faithful in the little things. Trust God for the big things. You be faithful in the little things. And my response was, when I surrendered to preach, he said the same thing. And I said, well, Brother Kirk, does that mean the platform up here is a big thing and I need to focus on children's ministry and other things? And he just smiled real big and said, just get ready, son. Just get ready. And one night, came to church. He challenged me. He gave me 8 weeks. And he said, just be ready. Continue teaching your class. Just have something in your Bible prepared. And I came to church on a Sunday night. And he says, Brother Doug, how you doing? You have a good day today. I said, yes, sir. He said, today's a big day. Today's the big boy. You're stepping up on the platform tonight and preaching for us. Boy, was I scared to death. I had my notes. I had all my material. And you think I talk fast now? Boy, you should have heard me then. I think it took longer. And I probably displayed more humility. The first time I really, I think, displayed pure humility in my life up to that point is when I had to stand up and walk to that platform because I was scared to death. I was nervous of the awesome responsibility. I don't look it today, I don't think, most times, but I assure you I'm still nervous in preparation and stepping up on the platform, stepping behind this podium because of the awesome responsibility. And it's always, Lord, help me to be faithful, help me to be truthful. No matter if it's a few that are here or a packed auditorium, help me to do my best, to give my best. Help me to be truly a good man as I present what you put on my heart. So let's challenge ourselves in asking the Lord to help us to be at our best, truly good men and good women who are faithful, who display mercy, who display truth in our everyday life. Because I'm telling you, folks, I've said it 100 times, I'll say it again. Our testimony speaks louder than anything we say when we have the opportunity to open our Bible. Don't misunderstand. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, but we'll never get to the point of opening our Bible if they don't trust us to. And that comes through our faithfulness, truthfulness, and our sincerity in the little things as God opens the door of opportunities for the big things. It's laying that foundation with the little things. Let's pray. Father, we do praise you once again and thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, help us as we continue with our study through the book of Proverbs. And at that aspect, help us always be mindful that I am accepted with the beloved of my Heavenly Father. I have His acceptance, His approval, my walk and my life. Help us to strive to keep that approval, that aspect of well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Lord, help us not to be so much concerned about what the world and others think. But Lord, help us to strive for that relationship with you, knowing that you will help us, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he maketh even our enemies to be at peace with us, because he controls those things, even as the rivers of waters flow. So Father, help us to focus on our relationship with you and exercise mercy and truthfulness to those around us. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. Again, may you be glorified in our conversation and time together as we dismiss. Bless the rest of our work week. Lord, help us to look for opportunities to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you and his preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed. Again, invite someone to church with you on Sunday. Ladies, tomorrow, and invite a friend to join you in ladies' Bible study.